Welcome to the Duluth Vineyard Podcast. This message is recorded from one of our weekend services. As a church, we are a community from all different walks of life who are learning to love God and love one another. We're a place where everyone is welcome, true believers, along with the curious, the skeptical, the wounded, and even the disillusioned. We're a place of new hope and second chances. We're a church where God can be found. You can find out more about the Vineyard Church in Duluth on our website at duluthvineyard.org. Thanks for listening.
I have the privilege of introducing Michael Gatlin, who's one of our senior pastors, who you may have noticed is multitasking this morning. He's playing drums and he's preaching.
Good morning. Oh, stop it. How you guys doing this morning? Doing all right? Well, they didn't convince me. How are you guys doing this morning? Doing all right? There we go. Do the Vikings play today?
Yeah.
Who do they play? Are they going to win?
Packers.
Oh, is it tonight? Man, how did I like? I'm just totally like unculturally current there. I had no idea what was going on. That's going to be a good one. And I don't think there's anything at Vineyard tonight, is there? Oh, sweet. I get to watch the whole game. So, good morning. I am continuing a series of messages. John and I have been teaching some messages about simplicity and generosity. And today, my talk is entitled Making Room. What we're going to do here over these next series of messages is we're going to be talking about all sorts of things in our lives, individually as well as in us as a community, about how we believe that God actually wants us to follow his example, to simplify our lives so that we can be more generous, really, with everything that he's given us, all the resources, time, energy, and money that he's given us. So we're actually going to be talking about things like money and budget and finances. We're going to be talking about what the Bible says about debt. We're going to be talking about giving and tithing and kind of how that works here at the Vineyard and how we view that stuff. We're going to be talking about parking lots and just like some practical stuff. But what we want to do is we want to tell you, as we're going through that, we want to talk about like how it is that we make decisions. We're going to kind of give you a framework for how we make decisions here with the practical stuff, because it all comes from the scriptures. All the practical stuff that we're doing around here, as well as it, you know, it should be in our families as well. It all comes from this kind of biblical basis, this biblical background of what we do. Sometimes people ask me or ask us here at the Vineyard, Michael, how come you guys talk about money and sexuality and all those things? And my answer would be because the Bible talks about that stuff. We really want to be a church that talks about and learns how to do everything the Bible says to do. And believe it or not, there's more verses in the Bible that deal with money and our attitude about money and possessions than deal with any other horizontal object that we as people deal with other than worship or prayer. It's like, that's absolutely amazing. There's a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about it. We as Americans sometimes skim right over those. We go, oh, yeah. You know, they had, you know, a different kind of money. It's not a dollar, so it doesn't count. Like, well, yeah, it does count. Like, all the attitudes about it count, you know, perfectly well. And so, as we begin to bring this up and talk about money in church, oftentimes people get nervous, and maybe you feel that way. Maybe I feel that way. I don't know. How do I feel? I don't know. You know, I haven't checked today yet. Somebody was asking me that once. Like, how are you doing? I go, boy, you know, I haven't even thought about that all day long. Here, I'll get back to you. No, but oftentimes people get nervous as we're talking about money in church, and rightly so. This subject has often been handled very, very poorly. You know, when the guilt tourniquet gets turned up too tight, we can't breathe anymore. And so, like, here's what I want to do. I want to kind of give you some expectations that you can have as we go through this series of messages. I want to say, you know, just say, here's what you can expect kind of from us as leaders or from us as a church, from us as staff, as we begin to talk about these kinds of things here at the Vineyard. First of all, you can expect that we will conduct ourselves with complete integrity, that we won't, like, ask anybody to do anything that we're not doing, that there'll be no manipulation or hype in what we do. We're going to be talking about raising some money to pay for a parking lot and some other things that need to happen around here. But there will be complete integrity as we do that. You will never see a red thermometer, ever. Unless you go to the doctor or something, right? We're not going to do that sort of thing. We're never going to talk about, like, there's a miracle amount that we need to come up with. And once we reach that miracle amount, then Michael will shave his head. No, Michael's going to shave his head all the time, right? There's no, like, gimmicks like that. I'm never going to come riding in on a Bengal tiger, you know, because God's like a tiger. I don't understand that one. But, like, we're just not going to do that kind of thing. That's not who we are as a community. We're pretty low-keyed in the midst of that. So there's, you know, no, we're not going to resort to manipulation or hype. As we go through these next few weeks, though, you can expect that we will see some miracles. It's amazing what happens when you actually begin to pray about really specific things in your life or in our life as a community. When we begin to pray and lean into those things, one of the things that happens is that God answers prayer. He always does. And so it's really fun to press into some of this stuff and to try to learn some of these things together. And so we're going to exercise some faith muscles that we might not have exercised in a long time. Here's the third one. This one's really encouraging. You can expect to be hassled by Satan if you press in and want to grow spiritually. Every time that the kingdom of God advances, every time that we obey Jesus, every time we take a step in faith, the enemy has a counterattack every time. You can see it over and over again in the scriptures. If you've been following Jesus for more than a couple hours, you've probably experienced that in your own life as well. So you can expect to be hassled as we go through this thing. You can expect the, you know, problems to come up in our lives, but you can also expect to grow spiritually. You can expect to grow. Like I said, we're going to be exercising some faith muscles. We'll be using certain muscles in ways that many of us may not have used for some times. Prayer muscles or fasting muscles or trusting God in the midst of difficult circumstances type muscles. That you'll be using those things, and as you do, if you actually like take some of what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, you will grow. You'll can you expect to grow spiritually, and then you can expect to see a whole lot of joy. One of the things I love about my relationship with Jesus is that when I press in and follow him, even though sometimes it feels really, really difficult, it's like there's this amazing joy that he deposits in me. And like, you might not know this, but like I'm not a very like expressive person. I don't like go around, oh, happy, you know, slappy, clappy, kind of. I'm not like that kind of guy. I surprised you, didn't I? You guys are stunned. You're sitting there in stunned silence, I can tell. And but you can expect that as you trust God, as you kind of move forward in some of this, that you will experience his joy. A couple things that we're not going to do. We don't do fundraising campaigns here at the Vineyard. Fundraising is when you, sell little things like candy bars or candles or trinkets or something. You sell stuff, and then at the end of that, you have some funds. What we believe is that if we immerse ourselves in the reality of who God is, if we immerse ourselves as a community, as individuals, in the reality, in the joy, in the generosity of who God is, that he changes us, like the song that we sang, from the inside out, that he literally rearranges our lives in such a way that we can't wait to share with one another. That's the way it was for the early church. That's the way it's been here every single step of the way. And so what we're doing is we are working to make room for people that God wants to bring to the Vineyard community. And that's what I've titled today's talk is Making Room. We're going to look at, to start with, Philippians chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, why don't you open it up to that? I'm going to highlight a couple biblical passages, and then we're going to talk about some specific practical things here this morning. And I believe that it will actually be a blessing to all of us, but it will challenge us in some ways. And so you might want to buckle up for this one. It'll be fun. Philippians chapter 2, let me pray, and then I will read that. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your incredible generosity in our lives as the body of Christ, as a community here in Duluth. Thank you for your generosity in our lives individually. for the way that you've given yourself to us, Lord Jesus. And I ask that you would make us really, really good imitators of you. Really good. Holy Spirit, come. Put your power on this talk and on our time together. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. He's actually unpacked a bunch of really important theological truth for them in Philippians chapter 1, and then he is now beginning to show them how this works out practically in their lives. He says this, "In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." First thing that I want to talk about today is that we actually want to embrace simplicity so that we can live generously. You may wonder why we're combining simplicity and generosity in this series of messages, because most people, they simplify their lives. Most people feel that their lives are overcrowded, that there's too much stuff going on, and so we simplify our lives so that we can pull back, so that we can withdraw, so that we can, almost escape from all the complication going on in the world. But I believe that God actually wants us to become more generous as we simplify. He wants us to become, more generous, more like him. Not just finding relief from, from stress and unfulfillment and an unsustainable pace of life. And so, just really briefly, to simplify is really to pull back from non-essentials in our lives. Lots of us feel like life is too full, it's too busy, it's too hectic, that there's no way that we can add even one more thing to our plate. Everybody's pulling on us, and so we feel stressed financially, we feel stressed emotionally, we feel stressed relationally. It's like we don't even hardly have time for the friends that we already have, much less new friends, right? Lots of us feel that way, and it's like our finances are exactly the same thing, our emotional energy is the same way. So to simplify is to pull back from the non-essentials. Much of what we embrace in life is not necessarily necessary. I loved putting those two words together. It just made me giggle as I typed it out. It didn't have the same effect on you, I could tell. But so I'm just going to milk it for a little while longer. Much of what we like hold on to, it's not like vital to our life. It's not essential. And so to simplify is to actually pull back from some of the stuff that's non-essential. Now, again, lots of folks simplify, but it's to retreat. It's to withdraw. It's to say, well, I don't think I could take humanity anymore. Humanity's really evil. I'm going to move off to a farm and just eat what I grow. I would starve, but, some of you guys are okay with that. And it's like, and that's we're just going to pull back. We're going to isolate. We're going to become, recluse, and we're just going to, pull back from the evils of contemporary society. But we're not simplifying to withdraw. We want to engage in a more meaningful way. Remember that the one that we're meant to imitate, our model is Jesus. And so the passage I just read, Jesus simplified. But he simplified in a pretty big way. He pulled back from heaven. Jesus is God, hello? And so he gave up the glories of being God. He gave it up. He put it aside so that he could become a human being. And it says that he made himself nothing. I looked up the word nothing. Guess what it means? You guys are brilliant. You must read the Greek Bible too. Right? It means that he made himself nothing. Of course, now he made himself a human being. We don't look at human beings and think they're nothing, especially when we look in the mirror. We think, now that's something. But Jesus said he became a human being. He made himself nothing. He took on the role of a servant. That's simplifying. He's our model in this. And that he simplified not so that he could pull back, you know, those sinful human beings, they've made such a mess of stuff, I'm just going to pull back. You know, they made their bed, they can just lie in it now. It's like, that's not what he did. He actually engaged with us at an incredibly deep level. Like, he comes to where we are, and then he gives his life. Like, he engaged with us deeper than anyone's ever engaged with us. See, here's the deal. When your life is really, really full, when it's just crammed to the fullest extent possible, you can't fit one more thing in. You can't engage with anybody. Like, for instance, these little things right here, we call them smartphones. There's not that much smart about them, because when you're actually sitting with somebody trying to engage and they're answering 7 emails and texting 19 people while they're trying to talk to you, there's not much deep, meaningful engagement that goes on there. Have you ever experienced that? Maybe you're the person with the dumb phone, and so you're sitting there, you know, just doing this, and you think, man, I'm engaging, like I'm talking to 30 people at once. This is awesome. But nobody actually gets to talk to you. Nobody gets to engage meaningfully with you. These things have this really cool feature. I don't know if you've ever discovered it. There's this button where you can turn them off. It's an amazingly cool feature that when you just try it for an hour. I know it's going to feel really like you're naked, right? It's going to feel like there's no life left in the world. When you just turn it off for a little bit so that you can more meaningfully engage with the human being who's right in front of you. It's miraculous. I double dog dare you to try it. And it works. That's a little tiny picture of what Jesus did with us. Just a little picture. And what he's calling us to do with one another. We want to simplify. You know, when everything's maxed out, we don't have room for additional friends. We don't have room to do anything with our finances. You know, when it's interesting, when your finances are maxed out to the fullest extent possible, and then you meet somebody that you really, really want to help, there's really nothing you can do. You can say, well, I guess I won't make my car payment this month, but I can help you, and then I don't know what'll happen there. There's no margin in our lives. I love the way that Jesus just created margin in his life. And I know I'm taking this illustration a little far, but it works for me. I love the way that he did that so that he could have a relationship with us. That's what we're called to do. That's the example that we're meant to follow. That's what we're supposed to do. The whole purpose of this series of messages of simplicity and generosity is we want to continue to make room for people. Here at the Vineyard, we have a little thing that's guided us for years. A little thing that we've said is that we will do whatever it takes to make room for whoever God wants to bring here, period. I've told this story before, but at one point a few years ago, somebody asked me, hey, how big are we going to let this thing get? And the reason I tell this story is because it really deeply impacted me. The guy said, how big are we going to let this Vineyard thing get? And immediately in my mind, I start thinking like, yeah, that's a good question. How big are we going to let it get? In my mind, I'm doing the charts and the graphs. I'm kind of figuring the whole thing out. And then all of a sudden, at one point, I feel like God says, Michael, you idiot, it's not up to you. He talks to me just like my father-in-law. Seriously, my father-in-law, like early in our marriage, we were doing something, and I found it really, like, I giggled as we were doing it, and he just looks at me and goes, you know, it doesn't take much to please an idiot. That's what he said, yeah. If you're a father-in-law, that's not a great way to win your son-in-law's heart, by the way, you know? It's just like, just chalk that one up. Doesn't take much to please an idiot. And so God speaks to me, and by the way, I love my father-in-law. He's awesome, dude. I wish I was more like him. Okay. Wonder if he's going to listen to this. I think we're going to actually put a different one on the podcast, you know. Anyway, so I felt like God said, Michael, it's not up to you how big this thing gets. Your job is just to love every single person who comes there. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Put away the charts and the graphs. This makes it really easy. That we're just willing to do whatever it takes to love people. Remember the whole t-shirt thing, love God? Love people. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's our job. That's what we do. We're meant to love people. And so we are willing to change how we allocate resources. We're willing to take a look at our budget. We're willing to like create more parking. We're willing to do as many services as it takes if there's people that want to come, so that we can talk to them about who Jesus is, introduce them to our incredible Savior, and pray for them and love on them. We're just willing to do whatever it takes. We're willing to train up our best leaders and send them out to plant more churches. Like, we'll do whatever God wants us to do in order to make room for people. That's kind of one of our guiding philosophies. And so in your program, you got this cool little brochure, and I'll go through some of it today in just a second, but it's like that's what it says. It says making room for people. We're committed to do whatever it takes to continue to do that. That's always where we've been. Why? Why are we willing to do this? Why are we willing to go to such great lengths to rearrange our lives and do this? Because God loves people. You have never met a human being that God is not madly in love with, that he's not passionately in love with, because he came to our planet and died to show that love. Like, you've never met a human being, even the ones with the really odd political beliefs, you've never met a human being, the ones with the odd political beliefs, they're sitting in the same row as you, by the way, they're like here. It's like amazing. Only in this place do they all like get along together in November. It's funny. They actually pray for each other if they don't ask themselves, you know, those questions. But you've never met somebody that God doesn't deeply love. And so our goal is to make room for him. And then we want to do that in a way that's just like him. And so we want to be able to love, to live extravagantly rather than cautiously. You know, it seems to me oftentimes that the scriptures are encouraging me to live in a way that I really, really want to live, but I'm deathly afraid of trying. Do you know what I mean? Like, Jesus is inviting me into this kind of life that seems incredibly engaging, that seems incredibly adventurous, that seems incredibly fun. But then we read that and we kind of pull back and go, oh yeah, but then I have my real life, you know, my go-to-work life, my kids' life, my keep-the-house-clean life, and it's like, it's not really like that. It seems to me that Jesus is inviting us into a kind of life that we really, really passionately want, but we're really afraid of trying to live, that's what he's inviting us into. When I'm afraid that I'm going to run out of resources, when I look at what I have, my resources, and then I look at the needs that are out there that I feel like God is leading me out into, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but it just feels like there's this huge disparity. Like, what I have measures like this much, and the needs that are out there are like, you know, this, or, you know, up to there and down to there kind of thing. And it's like, how could this ever fill that? And the truth is, I don't have enough. When I'm focused on my resources, there's nothing there. But I forgot to factor my Heavenly Father into the equation, who has amazing resources. Like, there's no limit to what he has. And when I put him into the equation, all of a sudden, there's this incredible, I don't know, generosity that can take over my life. I love the way that Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 5 as he's writing to the church in Ephesus. He says this as he's teaching them about how to live this kind of life. He says this, watch what God does and then you do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. There it is again. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us, love like that. In one sense, we read that and we think, that's how I want to do it. In another sense, we think, well, if I give everything, then what will I have? Because nobody's watching out for me. We've taken God out of the picture again. Like, what if we could absolutely give ourselves away? I mean, just like dream, fantasy, sci-fi for a moment. What if we could absolutely give ourselves away, lock, stock, and barrel, and we never had to worry about being filled up? Like, what if we could live like that? What if our confidence in God led us to this place that we could easily give ourselves away, knowing he would meet every single need that we had? That's how Jesus lived. Jesus didn't love me hoping for a response. you know, just give a little bit and see what I get back, and then maybe give a little bit more, and if Michael's, you know, teachable, then I'll give a little bit. Jesus didn't do that. Paul writes in Romans 5 that while I was still a sinner, while I was still rebellious and going my own way, Christ died for me. That's my example in terms of this. So I want to learn how to live extravagantly rather than cautiously. And begin to wonder, like, what would that look like? What would that look like if us as individuals, but even us as a community, like, what would it look like if we began to do that kind of thing? One of the stories that comes to mind that Jesus told is this story that's in Luke 15. It's a parable of a son who went to his father long before his father had died and asked for his inheritance. Like, he went early to ask for his inheritance. By the way, that's rude. It was rude then, it's rude now, right? And most fathers would just go, what are you? Like, who do you think you are, you know? And if they didn't take a swing at their son, they'd probably just kick him out the door, right? It'd be considered incredibly rude. We call that story, it's the parable of the, we call it the prodigal son. The word prodigal means extravagantly wasteful, right? And it's true that the son took those resources and wasted them, but guess who was really prodigal? Guess who gave the son the resources? See, what Jesus begins to show us about the Father is that he's the one who's prodigal. That he's the one that's lavish, over the top, unreasonably generous. That's one of the things that so offended the Pharisees, is Jesus was saying that the Father just didn't like beat the son around and go, that's a stupid request, get out of my face. I want your inheritance before I die. Like, what are you? Like, plant something in that head. Water it, see if it grows. You know, even the father didn't do that. He like gave it to him, knowing exactly full well what would happen. If you're a young man or woman here, don't get any ideas with your parents. Do you know what I mean? It's the father who's the one who's prodigal, that he's so incredibly generous. In fact, he's so generous that we find that that offends us sometimes, just like it offended the people in Jesus' day. When Jesus was telling the story about the prodigal son, he'd right before that told the story of the 10 lost coins, and he'd right before that he told the story of the lost sheep, right? And the reason he told these stories was, if you look at Luke chapter 15, verse 1, it says this: now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Well, the religious folks, the good church-going folks, were looking at the folks that Jesus was spending his time with, and they were saying, wait a minute, he's being too generous to the wrong people, and they got really offended. So Jesus tells three stories, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, to show how absolutely prodigal the Father is, how extravagant and generous he is in every way, shape, and form. Jesus rearranged his life to make room for those who were outcasts. When Jesus said, let him who has ears to hear, hear this, it was all the wrong people that were listening and obeying. Like, he totally got something. He was totally passing on to them the generosity of the Father. They didn't have to like measure up first. They just got to come in and enjoy it. We find the generosity of God, if we're in touch with it, we find it offensive, but that's the way he is. And so in the same way that Jesus rearranged his life to make room for people, we believe that here at the Vineyard, we're supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to rearrange our lives to make room for people. So over the next 4 weeks, this one included 5 weekends, we're going to be talking about what it practically means for us to be rearranging our lives to a certain extent to make room for people that God wants to bring here. And we're going to be talking about things like, you know, the parking lot. We're going to be talking like things like our budget. We believe that God wants to make room for folks. Here's a good question. Let me just do a quick poll. How many of you guys never attended the Vineyard Church when it was over on the east side of town in that old little building? You never attended. Put your hands really high, like really high. Look around. Look at all the hands that are up there. Do you know why you never attended the building over on the east side of town? Because there was no room for you. Seriously, Like, we didn't even have this many chairs right here in the middle. Like, we had like a couple hundred chairs that fit in that room. And there were often that every single chair was full. People were sitting on the floor and they were standing around the back of the room. Like, that was often the case. And especially like at the full services on a Sunday morning like this. And there were many times where people would be coming up to the building and I'd be kind of out front. And I'd have to tell people, there is not even a place to stand or lay on the floor right now. And so if you go down the road and get breakfast, come back at the next service, and like we turned people away. That was after they parked four or five blocks away, climbed over snowbanks to walk to the building to find out there was no room. Right? That was after that. And so what's really cool is that a few years ago, that God began to lay it on some people's hearts here at the Vineyard to actually buy a piece of property and make things a little bit bigger, to make room. I'm so glad that they made room for you guys. I'm glad they made room for me when I first came back in the fall of 97. I'm so glad that we made room. And so what they did is they began to, like, they bought this piece of property, they began to pray, they began to save up all their pennies. People, like, gave up family vacations. There's one couple that was saving money for a garage, and they just gave all the money they were saving to build a new garage. They figured, we could build that later. I don't know if it ever got built. I don't know if it ever got built. But they just felt like God was speaking to them about making room for people. That's pretty cool. And like that's who we are as a community. We constantly want to be welcoming people in and making room for them in our lives as well as in the building. So here's a couple things we're going to be doing this fall. We're going to make room in our parking lot. As you can see, when you drive in, depending on what service you come to, our parking lot can be incredibly full. It has 250 spaces, our parking lot does. You know, with the little white lines, 250 of those. Our average that we have here on a full service is 279 cars in those 250 spaces. At a really full service, somehow we get 362 cars in those 250 spaces. Like, I don't even know how we do that. That's like stinking cool. Like, I want to go out and like get a helicopter picture shot of that or something. How do you get 362 cars? You know, if you all rode motorcycles, it'd be a whole lot easier. Seriously, it'd be a lot easier. Church might get really small in the winter, but it'd be a whole lot easier, you know, to do that. And so what we're going to do is we're actually adding, and it talks about this a little bit in that brochure that you have, we're going to be adding 104 new parking spaces. Some of them over here on the driveway on the east side. There's a whole new lot with some big Tonka trucks being constructed over there on the west side. They're planned to have that ready by the time the snow flies. I don't know. They're working on it a lot this week, and it's going to be gravel throughout the winter, but it'll be like really big, cool gravel so that we can actually park there. In addition to the cars that we actually have on the lot, you may or may not know this, but we have nearly 50 cars pretty much every week park off the lot. And so people park at the bank. If they're serving, if you're serving or on staff here on a weekend, you're not really allowed to park in the parking lot. And so what we do is we have people park at the bank and they walk over, or we run a shuttle over to Minnesota Power and have people park over there. And so like there's a whole bunch of space that we can make. One of the things that happens is that people drive by on Arrowhead Road or they start to pull in and they look at all the cars in the front parking lot. And one of the first things, because we've talked to folks, one of the first things that goes through their mind is, oh, there's not room for me there. They don't even realize there's a lot in the back. In fact, if you regularly come to the Vineyard, what if you guys all parked in the back? Believe it or not, you don't have to walk quite as far, and it's downhill instead of uphill to get into the building. Of course, it's uphill when you go back to your car, but by then you're all energized. You know, you've had your coffee, and you feel good to go, right? But seriously, I recommend park in the back. Leave room in the front for new folks, right? So one of the things that we're going to be doing is we're actually be taking an offering on November 20th and 21st to see if we can pay for the parking lot. People ask, how much does it cost? That's a really good question. It's going to cost us $240,000 to get that ready for the winter so that we can use it. How come it's so much, Michael? Well, it's because it costs a lot to move a lot of dirt and blow up rocks. There's cool ledge rock there, and they're going to blow it up. And my office overlooks that. I'm going to watch it explode. I said, could I come out there and plant some explosives? They're like, we don't really do it that way anymore. We use this cool foam. And so they said no. I couldn't blow things up. Personally, I think we should have a Vineyard men's group here that just shoots things and blows things up. That would be a good men's group. There you go. I'm with you, sir. Right? And then afterwards, we get together, you know, and pray for hearing loss. And then we study the Bible about how to aim our life on Jesus. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? I like that part. I want to shoot and blow stuff up. I don't know. It's fall. I guess I just feel that way. So that's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to make room in our parking lot. The second thing that we're doing is we want to make room in our budget. So let me tell you kind of how our budget has generally worked. As a church grows, it affects absolutely everything that we do. As the family gets bigger, it affects the budget. So, like, for instance, you might not know this. I went and got stats from our bookkeeper this week because I'm just kind of curious. Like, for instance, I asked her, I go, how much does it cost to operate the bathrooms each month? Like, you know, bathrooms. People use the bathrooms. I don't know if you ever go into the bathrooms. They're a lot nicer than in the old building. In the old building, there was only two urinals in the men's room, and you had to stand like this close to each other. Like, men actually had to touch each other while... That's just inappropriate. And so, I mean, you just touch each other there, okay? Don't. So anyway, I'm a dork. What could I say? So I just went to her. I said, like, how much does it really cost to operate this thing? And she said, well, if you're talking about, like paper towels and the toilet paper and all the stuff for the bathrooms, like, all month long, it's $600 a month. $600 a month for, like, the janitorial. That's quite a bit. I go, okay, well, what about, like, the free coffee we give away? Like, because we just think, you know, coffee should be good at the Vineyard, good coffee. Ours actually comes from Costa Rica, and there's this really cool Vineyard ministry down there. 100% of the profits go back into the Vineyard ministries. They run an orphanage or two. They help get men and women off of cocaine. They do some really great work, and they're the ones actually kind of doing it, and it's all, like, really good for the farmers and all that, you know. Good for the goose and the gander kind of thing. And so, how much does that cost? It's like $1,500 a month. I go, what about like the stir sticks? How much do the... And so she lumped all that together for me. The stir sticks, the coffee, the sugar, the Splenda, the honey. It was like $350 a month for that. And it's like, it just costs a lot to run a family this size, right? In the old building, our budget was, like, at a certain point, I think it was, you know, $200,000 or $300,000 like that. And what we used to do is we used to look at our growth rate from the previous year. And so whatever our growth rate was, let's say 1 year, I know it was like 37% that we had grown in terms of attendance, then what we would do was what I call divine estimation. Okay, divine guesstimation. Right? Where we would pray a lot and we would ask God, like, what are we supposed to do with our budget for the coming year? Because we don't know what we're going to grow and I was, you know, just don't know that. And so what we would do is we'd look at that growth rate for that year and then we'd say, well, it takes a while for people to kind of come on board giving, so let's chop that down a few percentage points and we'd say, let's increase the budget by 20%. What do you think, God? And really, seriously, over 13 years, we nailed it pretty close every time. But here's the deal. When you're off 5 or 10% and your budget's this big, it's not that much. When you're off 5 or 10% and your budget's the size that ours is now, that's more money than I make in a few years when you're off 5 or 10%. And so here's what we want to do. We're going to try something for the first time ever. And we've talked to some bigger churches and they've said, yep, this is how we do it. It works really well. And I said, well, I don't know. This is Duluth. Them Duluthians, you know, they're different. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to estimate our giving. We're going to ask everybody who attends the Vineyard to fill out an estimated giving card for the coming year, 2011. This is not a pledge. This is not a faith promise. This is an estimate of what do I think I will contribute to the Vineyard Church over 2011, like my regular tithe. The easy way to figure it out, if you've learned how to tithe, you just look at what you made and you take 10%. Like, it doesn't take more than a couple minutes. If you haven't learned how to do that yet, we'll be talking about that and why that's a big deal and how kind of how that works. I talk about it in a very gracious, kind of, you know, compassionate way, and so you won't feel beat up over it. But that's what we're going to do, and we're just asking people to do that. And it's not like this pledge where people will come knocking at your door, you know, if you don't, like, measure up to the amount that you put on the card kind of thing. You know, we have no Archangel Guido who's going to come do collections for us. I was actually at a church where they did a skit on giving, and they had Archangel Guido in the skit. I thought that was hilarious. I thought, oh, I bet that helps a lot. Not, you know. And so that's what we're going to do. And so we're asking everybody on just to pray about this. And here's how we do it at the Vineyard. We ask everybody to pray. And basically when you're praying, you want to talk to God about three different things. And you do it as individuals and you do it as families. You pray and you say, Lord, is this a church that you want me to be at? You want me to participate in this church? Is this the place you want me to be? God says yes. Then you just ask him, I mean, that's if he says yes. I'm not assuming for you that he will, right? And then you ask him, I'm assuming for me that he will, but you guys are on the, you know. Then you ask him, like, how much? I just get really specific with God. God, how much do you want me to put towards this? Like, you know my resources better than I do. You know your resources way better than I do. How much do you want me to give towards this? And then the third thing I do is I say, oh God, oh God, oh God, help. Like, give me the courage to listen to you and obey you. And as we begin to do that, as individuals, as couples, as families, if you're married, do it with your spouse. If you have a family, if you got children, do it with them. Like, if they live with you now. If they don't, you don't have to call them up from another state. But am I making it clear? It's like, this is a pretty easy thing to do. There's no hype. There's no manipulation on this. We just ask God. And I believe that he's got all the resources that we'll ever need. And if we just trust him with this, we'll be amazed at what he does in the midst of it. But it's not just a financial thing that we're doing here. Oh, there's when we're actually going to do the whole deal. So November 2021, you'll hear a lot more about it coming up. This is not just a financial deal. One of the things that's really true is we've got, for people who are first-time guests that fill out the little card that we talk about at the beginning, we've got at least 100 of those guests coming, like, well, it's more than that, every single month. Every single month, there's like at least 100 new people that are visiting that are actually filling out the card. Lots of people kind of visit and they don't fill out the card. But we got lots and lots of people that are doing that. And it's probably about 100 every 2 weeks if we looked back at the stats. And so anytime that you come into the building, there's a good chance that people are around that have never actually been here before. You can tell them because they're holding their cup of coffee and they're looking up at the ceiling. And you can tell they're new because once you've been here once or twice, there's nothing to see up there. It's insulation. It's like, oh, cool, okay, I don't ever have to do that again, you know? So when you see somebody doing that, you just walk over to them. Like I do, you just walk over and go, hi, my name's Michael. You have to use a different name because that one's mine. And you just walk over and you introduce yourself, and I just like to ask the question, like, how long have you been coming to the Vineyard? And sometimes they say, 3 years, you idiot. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm an idiot. That's what God told me, that's what my father-in-law told me, I know it's true. Right? Or sometimes they say, about 3 minutes. This is my first time here. And I'm like, oh, sweet. Can I show you around? Like, you just get to know people. You make room in your lives for people. And when you do that, it's absolutely amazing what God begins to do in you, the changes that he begins to make in you. We are not on the planet just for ourselves. Our life is not just about us. It's about what God wants to do through us. And so these are some things that we're arranging to help make room for people. Why don't you guys stand up? Heavenly Father, you are so incredibly gracious to us. And Lord, as we talk about, as we discuss kind of financial realities and who we are as a church, and we kind of look at all the things that you're calling us into and the ways that you want to stretch us this fall, God, I ask that you would give us the grace to be incredibly gracious with one another. We don't want anybody to feel guilty or to feel manipulated. We just simply want to obey you and follow you. And so, God, would you give us grace? Just grace. to hear your voice and to respond well during these next few weeks. Thank you for what you're doing. Some of us, we hear a talk like this and it gets really practical and starts talking about money, and we don't even talk with our, some of us don't talk with anybody about our money. And it gets really hard to hear somebody up front talking about it like this. And I believe that Jesus actually wants to come meet you today. If that's you, he wants to come meet you by his Holy Spirit. And he just wants to be gracious to you and show you that it's not such an evil thing to talk about. But not only can we talk about it, we can laugh about it. And then we can be generous with one another and with what God's doing and all the people around us. We can live that way. For some of us, you've been really manipulated or kind of controlled in the past when it comes to these kinds of things. And I believe that Jesus wants to set you free today. Just set you free. This will not be controlling and manipulative. You do not have to worry about that. And you don't have to bring the baggage of the past with you into this endeavor. For others of us, we feel at the breaking point. We hear something like this, and we are stretched to the max in every way, shape, and form. And so hearing this just feels depressing because here's somebody else pulling on me. And we haven't gotten in touch yet with the generosity of our Creator. And I believe that Jesus wants to meet with you this morning and just begin to express his generosity to you in whole new ways. Whole new ways. And then others of us, God is really going to speak to many of us about actually pulling back from non-essentials so that we can be generous. He's going to talk to us. And partly that's fearful for us. So I'm not sure I want to give up any non-essentials right now. And I just think he wants to give us his heart for people. And so for some of you that are there today, God wants to just give you his heart for the other humans. He wants to show you how much he really loves and adores them. Because then kind of the simplifying becomes something you can't wait to do so that you can bless. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, but it's a really good hurt. So the worship team is going to lead us in some worship. We want to take some time to just pray for one another. And so we will pray for anything going on in your life. If one of those things that I talked about, if that's you, God's highlighting that's you, would you come up to the front right now? We would love to pray for you. And if there's any other needs going on in your life, physical needs, emotional needs, like we would love to pray. We believe that God heals. And so we love to pray for physical needs and sickness because we believe and we've seen over and over again how God comes and does stuff. And we would love the opportunity just to pray with you over that. If you're on the ministry team, could you make your way to the front, please? Just come on up here and let us spend some time praying over you. And especially in the area of finances, especially in the area of giving, just let God come and minister to you a little bit. Don't be afraid. He's really good. He's really gracious with this stuff. And he wants to bring a deep, deep, deep healing to our lives. And so just take a risk and let him do that. The worship team will lead us in some worship. Please feel free to hang out in here as long as you want. Other than that, God bless you guys, and thanks so much for attending the Vineyard this morning. Have a great rest of the rainy day.